Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be together today. I hope you're doing well. And here we are. Yep, as Mark has been saying, lockdown number six. So let's just keep pressing forward. Now, the Lord put on my heart today to bring a message which is a one-off message. It's a message just in a singular space. As I'm watching some of the tensions that are being created as people interact with each other online, and especially in the context of COVID-19, the global pandemic, some of the tensions that are being experienced between people who are pro-vaccination, those who are unvaccinated or anti-vaccination. I'm just watching the way that people are starting to treat one another. And even though I choose not to do social media, I do know heaps of people who do, and Edie, my wife, briefs me on a regular basis on some of the stuff that's kind of cruising around out there. So I thought I'd go into this space today, this whole domain of what it looks like to honour one another. It's actually the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments that is to do with the way we relate to each other. Of the Ten Commandments, you'll find them in Exodus chapter 20. The first three commandments are to do with our relationship with God. And then we have the fourth commandment, which is about enjoying the Sabbath, which is really about personal well-being. The Sabbath was given to humanity as a gift, never as a master. And then the very first commandment, which is to do with the way we relate to one another, has got this word honor in it. And we read this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, "Honor your father and your mother. Then you'll live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, it's really interesting that we've got this word honor in the way that we're to treat our parents. Now, our engagement with our parents and this word honor isn't exclusively to do with issues that we frequently think of, like love or trust or admiration or even obedience. In fact, the word honor doesn't actually mean any of those things. So that sixth commandment doesn't encourage us or doesn't command us to love our parents. Of course, it's important to love your parents. It doesn't command us to trust our parents, because let's face it, some parents are not trustworthy. It doesn't say admire your parents, because some parents are not living an admirable life. And it doesn't even say obey your parents. That is what it looks like to honor your parents when you're a child. But while we don't all have children, we all have parents. And so this command teaches us about what it looks like to give weight. And that's literally what the word means, to honor. It literally means to give weight towards. That sense of honoring, it's giving a deference towards. It's a long-term commitment. Now, honoring is a very cultural thing. We honor in all sorts of different ways. In the Australian sporting setting, if an AFL player has just hit a milestone game, 100, 200, 300, at the end of the game, his or her fellow players might carry them off on their shoulders to honour them. Or when they retire at the end of a grand career on grand final day, some players will be honoured. They'll be driven around the stadium on grand final day and the crowds will applaud them to give weight to them, to honour them. We do it in the military by placing medals on people's chests. When people are elected to office in politics in Australia, they are called the Honourable. And whether they're acting honourably or not, the office carries the title the Honourable. So honour is a really culturally sensitive matter. And if you're going to honour somebody, we need to do it in a culturally appropriate way. Well, you can be really grateful that you didn't marry into the Guyaki tribe. Guyaki tribe, here we go. The Guyaki tribe, they're in Paraguay. Now, a French anthropologist, Pierre Castre, traveled down to the rainforest of Paraguay in 1963 to a Stone Age tribe, the Guyaki, and because they were known as a cannibalistic tribe. But they weren't cannibalistic towards their enemies. Frequently, when people think about cannibalism, they think that you're going to kill your enemies and eat them. No, the Guyaki tribe actually ate their own. They ate their own after they died as a way of honouring them. Now, you'd never eat your immediate family member, so you'd never eat your parents, your siblings, or your children, as it was. But you'd eat somebody else in the tribe to honour them. The only piece of a body that wasn't eaten was the female reproductive organs. They were buried, but everything else was eaten. And even certain portions were given to different members of the tribe to do with their fertility or to do with their age and all those sorts of things. And it was their way of honoring. So you can just say thank you to God that you didn't marry into the Guayaki tribe, because honor is a very culturally sensitive matter. Now, when honor is learned at home, and this is what this fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments does, honor your father and mother. Now, when honor is learned at home, it blesses all relationships. When a person learns what it looks like to give weight to others, which is to build, it's to do with respect. It's actually to do with enhancing that person's life and giving weight to their perspective. When we learn to do that in the home, it actually blesses all relationships. Men who've learned honor in their own homes will be a better husband because they will learn how to honor their wives. Parents who've learned honor in the home, in their own homes when they are young, they will be better parents because they will actually learn how to honor their children in the way that they raise them. And so this honor thing, it will affect the way that you will relate to authority in your workplace. It'll affect the way you relate to the police. It'll affect the way you relate to authority on the sporting field, in politics, all these different aspects of life. When an individual learns what it looks like to honor. Now, honor was spoken initially back into the home, and so that we were to honor our parents. Now, so if honor is not to love or to obey or to admire and all these different things, what actually is it? And we've said the word literally means to give weight. Tim Keller put it this way. He said, honor is the unsentimental moral nucleus of your relationship with your parents. You want to hear that again? Honor is the unsentimental moral nucleus of your relationship with your parents. So to honor is a moral choice. It's got nothing to do actually with your feelings. It's something that you actually choose to load within your heart, because inasmuch as there are no perfect parents apart from our Father in heaven, and therefore there are times when as children we can feel frustrated with our parents, and for some, you've known the reality of parents who are alcoholics, parents who've struggled with profound life functionality, parents who've done evil things even, and so you have that sense of, well, is it possible for me to honor when my parents are not living honorably? And the answer is, yes, you can. It's a personal choice that you make. Honor is to treat people with respect and dignity and loyalty. And when we learn in our homes to do that with our own parents, we learn a principle, because honor is something that is given rather than something that's earned. And so when we learn it at home, it does affect all of our relationships. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in honoring each other. So this whole principle of learning to honor one another is something that's learned in the home, but it affects absolutely everything that we do, every relationship in life. When you've learned what it looks like to honor a person, and you're able to do that at your work or in your own family as you establish it, as you do it in society, on the sporting field, in your local club, whatever it might be, a person who knows how to honor others actually is a person that that people will be really attracted to. The late David Jenkin, who held a senior role in industry, I can always remember when I'd have a little bit of time with David Jenkin, I would come away feeling like a bigger and better person. And I remember reflecting on that once. I came away from some time with him and I thought, why is it that when I have time with David Jenkin that I come away feeling like a bigger and better person? And it was because David was so honoring. David would speak with content, with timing, and with substance that would build me up as an individual. See, David had learned what it looked like to honor people. I was so much younger, I was so much less experienced, but he would speak in such a way that he would honor me. He would build me up. He was a very honorable man. Now, this dynamic of honor inside the family gets reflected on in Ephesians chapter 6. Where it says this, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do, it says. In verse 2, honour therefore your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honour your father and your mother, things will go well for you and you'll have a long life on the earth. Now, it's really interesting that we get this this promise connected to this statement. So it's quoting the fifth of the Ten Commandments. And it says, if you actually do this one, it's going to go well with you. Well, how do we understand that? We can understand it in a few different ways. One, it could, there's a potential. I don't think this is the main point of it, but it could be there's simply a supernatural blessing that goes upon the lives of those who are honouring towards their own parents, and they're going to be kind of blessed with a longer life. But we can see lots of examples where people have been honouring, they didn't get to live a longer life. I don't think that's actually the core of it. The fact that a person learns how to honour their parents and that it will go well for them, that they are going to have a long life on the earth, probably is more likely to do with two components. Firstly, this command was given to a nomadic people. The Israelites, when this was given, were travelling around the Sinai Peninsula. They were wandering around the wilderness. They did for 40 years after these 10 commandments were given. And they were amongst other nomadic peoples. And it was not atypical back in the day when an elderly person in a nomadic people group could not carry their weight anymore, they would simply be left behind, possibly with some provisions, but ultimately it was a death sentence. And God's speaking to the Israelites. He said, no, you're going to honour your parents. And by honouring them, as in by giving weight to them and treating them with loving respect, they're not going to be left behind. So it could be that sense of, and it's going to go well for you in the land, because then the younger generation will treat you in the same way when you get older. So you're going to have a long life on the earth because you're not going to get left behind. That's possibly part of it. Possibly part of it, second part, could be simply to do with that sense of well-being that comes with living a life that's honouring of others, and it actually is health-enhancing, that you're actually going to live long on the earth. Why? Because you've lived so well, you've honoured others and genuinely reduced your own stress levels in doing that, and that would lead to a long and healthy life. Now, the verse goes on now and speaks about back into the family dynamics. And I think this is an ongoing application of this whole honor principle. It's Ephesians 6:4, where it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now, the encouragement here is to bring them up. Bring them up. Which really, it's the whole goal of parenting is to bring your children up into adulthood. It's to bring them up out of obedience to you. You're bringing them up into a life where they themselves know how to honor other people as well. We bring them up and out of our authority. It's a really sobering thing for those of you who have parents when you realize you are not raising this child for yourself. You are raising this child for somebody else. You're raising them for God. You're raising them for a broader society. Sure, they're always going to be your child if you're blessed with a child. But ultimately, you raise them for a life quite independent of yourself. That is good and healthy parenting. Now, the verse there speaks about bring them up in training and discipline. Now, if we're going to bring a child up, part of the whole deal in that, in teaching them how to honor, is so that the child can learn to live from a place of approval rather than living for approval. Radically different ideas. If we're going to breed honor into our households, we're going to have to help our kids to realize they are loved and they are affirmed and they are supported irrespective of what they do. So they get to live from a position of approval rather than living for approval. Now, if a child tries to live for approval, they're perpetually trying to catch their parents' attention, and it can trade well up into their adult years where they're perpetually just waiting for their parent to say that they're proud of them. They make their decisions through a grid with regards to what would get approval from their own parents. And that's not a good way to live. We need to raise our children so they get the opportunity to live from an approved place. As God spoke over his own son at his baptism, "This is my son whom I love, in him I am well pleased." Jesus got to live from a position of approval. He was approved by God. He didn't have to perpetually seek the approval of his father. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." So when a child gets to live in the context of the loving instruction and training of their parents, it becomes a chain of honor around their neck as well. So the child themselves starts to live in an honorable way. You see, honor, that not only does the child learn how to honor their parents, but they then live an honorable life because they know how to honor. They've learned it at home. Now, there's two words that are used there with regard to the fathers and what they do with their kids, and that is discipline or training. That word is used, either of those words, discipline or training, and instruction. Now, this whole idea of discipline or training, the word there is paideia, and it's a cultivation of mind and morals, commands and admonitions, reproof and punishment. Really, that word of training your child has actually an action component to it. So there is an element of learning and doing. That's training. The second word, which is instruction, nuthesia, which literally the word means putting into their mind. So that's this kind of instruction by education. So we get this dual-fold thing that's taking place, that we are to train and instruct our children. We train them, and that involves information. Instruction involves information. Training involves imitation. And so our kids, they're being educated, and they're also getting a chance to be engaged. They're learning from us. There is content. There's also a life they get to imitate from their parents. So we're going to be raising people who know how to honor, because we ourselves have learned to honor our mother and father. If we're going to be people who therefore learn how to honor in our society, how do we do it? And what does it look like? Firstly, We honor by adding value to a person. That is, in the context of the interaction that we have with them, our tone and our timing adds value to their person. When was the last time you saw something in a person and celebrated it in them? Last night, if you were watching the Olympics, and here in Australia, we were celebrating the Boomers, as Mark mentioned earlier, and Paddy Mills did an interview at the end of the game. And in the context of that interview, and he starred. He got 42 points for the team, and yeah, really, he was the best player on the court on the night for Australia to get a bronze medal. But Paddy reflected on the team. He honoured the team. He honoured the coach and the staff. He honoured the predecessors, because for four Olympics in a row, Australia had ended up just outside the medals. And he named former stars who had kind of built the platform upon which this small nation with only 25 people in the world all of a sudden could be the third best basketball nation out of the global community. And he added value. So that's part of the way that we honour people. We add value to them. Now, we also honor by believing and speaking the best about a person. Now, it's really important to learn how to do this, both in their presence and away from them as well. There's a little bit of an edge to Australian culture, which makes a bit of a joke with a negative edge to it. I've actually tried to move away from that. I've tried to move away from that over the years, and many years ago I made this decision where I would try not to make a joke with a negative edge about another person. I made a choice that when I spoke about Edie, who is my wife, I would speak about her in an honourable way. So I would, when I speak of Edie, I speak and I honour her. She's the most beautiful person in the world. I definitely batted above myself. And so that opportunity to acknowledge and celebrate my wife in the presence of others, whether she is there or whether she's not there, it's honouring. So to believe and to speak the best about someone. rather than kind of focusing on something they've done wrong, or rather than focusing on a negative edge, let's seek to position ourselves in our thought and our speech about others in a way that speaks the best about them. It's like Jesus speaking to the Apostle Peter, and his name was Simon. He says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And Jesus was not only prophesying about Simon's future, but in calling him Peter, the rock, the little rock upon which, you know, this church was going to be built, that we get Jesus believing and speaking the best about him. Now, children also honor their parents, and we honor our families by carrying our name well, by carrying our family name well. I love it in the scripture where in Luke chapter 4, verse 22, about Jesus says, "Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips." "How can this be?" they asked. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Now, can you imagine when Joseph was alive, how proud he must have been of Jesus, that the people were kind of acknowledging him and saying, "Wow, he's really an outstanding young man." Any parent loves it when their child is celebrated. Which parent hasn't been to a school function, to a sporting function, if your child is ever acknowledged and celebrated, they've won an award, and yet your heart just fills? Why? Why? You're proud of them. Why does your heart fill? You love them. They're carrying the family name really well. I remember my daughter Amy went to school with a gentleman by the name of Dale Stevenson. He actually is the shot put coach for New Zealand right now. He's been acknowledged in the Olympics as they've been happening. And I remember, he's a big guy, and he was a champion athlete in his own right. And now he's coaching shot put for New Zealand in their Olympic team. But I remember meeting him in year 12 when Amy was in year 12, and she said, "That's him, Dad." I walked over to him. He didn't know me from a bar of soap. I walked up to him, I said, "Are you Dale Stevenson?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Carry the name well." And he's looking at me like, "Who are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm Amy's dad. I'm Dale Stevenson as well." We both had a bit of a laugh. And, I said, "Look, you're carrying the name. You know, carry the name well." But I'd say that to my children as well. When they're going out to a party, when in their growing up years, you know, as teenagers, and as your kids are having greater levels of freedom from you as a parent, they're going out to socialize. It wasn't uncommon for me to say to them, "Carry the name well. Carry the name well." And for anybody who calls themselves a Christian, I want you to know this: you carry the name of Jesus. So carry the name well. Honor God in the way that you live your lives. And it's also honoring to speak words of gratitude and praise. And we actually honor God by doing that, by speaking words of gratitude and praise about the goodness and the love of God. You know, Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse 23, and I conclude with this. He said, "So that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father." Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. So Jesus was saying that we have the incredible responsibility and opportunity to honor the Son, the Lord Jesus himself. You have the opportunity to honor God. You get the opportunity to honor Jesus in the way that you live, in the way that you carry his name. And I guess as we conclude, therefore, today, I just want to ask you, are you honoring God with the way that you live your life? Are you honoring Jesus with the testimony of your life? Have you ever put your trust in Jesus in the first place? The Bible affirms that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you have the opportunity to put your trust in him. You can say, "Jesus, what you did on that cross, you did for me." And you can then live a life that honors God. It's not perfection. Nobody can live a perfect life, but we can honor God with our words, with our lives, with our deeds, with how we engage with others. Honor. It's a beautiful principle, isn't it? We learn it at home. It affects every element of our lives, and we can do it with God as well. Let's honor him. Oh, there's a blessing that gets passed down through the generation as a result of that. You build honor into your home and into your household culture, and you'll pass a blessing on through the generations. Will you please pray with me right now? So, Father in heaven, for each one right now and right where we're at, thank you so much for your incredible love toward us. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Father, that you are committed to us and that you invite us to live a life of honor. Father, thank you. Thank you that you built it into the very family unit in the Ten Commandments that we're to honor our parents. Thank you that we can learn this principle in our households. We can learn this principle and live it out in our own marriages. And Father, for each person who's hearing me today, I want to pray right now for them that we would discover what it is to honor you, the living God. Whoever honors the Son, honors the Father. So help us to honor you, Lord Jesus. And we bless you. Do your good work in our hearts, I pray, for the glory and honor of your name. Amen.